All right, I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here with you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing, Father, upon this time together. Lord, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom, Father. Help us to be faithful to you and bring glory to you. Lord, we just ask again that you'd help us to be what you need us to be. Encourage us, Father. Strengthen us, Father, in yourself. Lord, we thank you again in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. Again in verse 6, just want to summarize a little here of what verse 3 and then go on. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. In the first verses it talks about how the wife should behave herself, and verse 6 talks about just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Just starting there, the will we talked about last week, and how I just thought of a phrase that I'd forgotten to mention last week, but it was there's a phrase that people used to say is he was working with a will. And I've thought about that little phrase, just he works with a will. And that's someone who is just doing what he's supposed to do and he wants to do it. And that just goes with the lesson last week, just listening to the boys. And whenever we can work with a will, whenever our will becomes the Lord's will, and we work with a will, then we can do what the Lord wants us to do and just do it. And there's no struggle, there's no fuss, there's no fight about it. We just work with the will. We do what God wants us to do. And that's what this Sarah is an example of, a woman who worked with the will. She knew the will of her husband and she gave her will, her wants, her ideas, and her husband's became hers. And then it says, and the husbands, the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman. And show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. And it goes on and gives instructions to the man. You husband, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker. Your wife may have strong opinions, strong ideas, and you as the husband are not just to be molded by those ideas. You're supposed to be the husband, the head of the home. That means that realizing that she is weaker, more fragile, you have to still be the head of the home. You don't just rule over them when you're upset. You don't just rule over them whenever things are not the way you want, but you rule over them, treating her as the weaker vessel. Show her honor. as a fellow heir of grace in life, not that your prayers will not be hindered. It's not, being a husband is not just leaving everything up to her to take care of. You need to actively provide the guidance that she needs so that in her effort to honor you, in her effort to submit to you, and there is something to submit to, not just trying to, well, my husband don't care, so I'll just do whatever I want to. There needs to be guidance, just like with your children. Can you imagine letting your children just, well, dad don't care, so I'll do whatever I want to. We'd never do that to any good. It might happen, but there would never be any good come from it. Whenever we're given liberty, it's with the idea that we're going to choose that for the highest purpose. You young boys, you young women, you young girls, whenever you're given liberty, that liberty is not to be pursued with whatever you can get away with, because you don't think dad would really care. With liberty comes a responsibility, a duty to use that liberty for the highest and best good for your station in life. A lot of times we see it in the world. Liberty. We hear the cry of liberty. It's far different. Liberty means far different than what it did a couple hundred years ago whenever this country was founded. Liberty meant the right to live a good and honest life, taking care of yourself and taking care of your responsibilities, a liberty to love God and a liberty to love your neighbor as yourself. Today we hear liberty as something, I can do whatever I want. That's not liberty, that's bondage. And that's what happens oftentimes. We think we have liberty, and oftentimes we get liberty all twisted up. And it's just because I can get away with it, just because I can do it, doesn't mean it's the highest thing that you can do. As children get older and they're allowed more liberties, a lot of times, most of the time, it's, I'm not under that roof anymore. I'm not under that constant supervision of my parents anymore. And so I can just do whatever I want. I've often thought, driving down the highway, you see it once in a while, a white chicken laying in the middle of the road. A white chicken laying in the middle of the road. Then you see the truck that's hauling these chickens. They're all in there in the cage. For the moment, there is safety in that cage. And I've just thought about it. The last thought that went through that chicken's mind as it wiggled out the little bar that it was in, the little cage that it was able to get out of going 60 miles an hour down the road, the last thought is, I'm free. Liberty. I got out. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And 2 seconds later, hitting the pavement 60 miles an hour. Splat. That kind of liberty lasts about that long. True liberty, true freedom, is being able to take the liberty that you're being given okay, yeah, it's all right. He don't care. I'll go do whatever I want. I can just run around. I can do whatever, because he don't care. I can just run around and do whatever I want because mom don't care. She's not there. I'm free. Think of that chicken every time you have that sense of freedom. Think of that chicken every time you think, oh, they're not around. I can do whatever I want. Just remember that chicken. Because you're headed for the same fate. That kind of sense of liberty brings nothing but bondage, pain, and suffering, and it provides nothing for anyone following it. Think of what the liberty that these people that are out smoking dope, out drinking, running around, whatever they want to do, their liberty. What are they passing on to anybody else? Absolutely nothing. And your type of liberty may be in a church. It may be all religious, and it may be kind of good. But it's the same mistaken idea of liberty that they have. And it produces the exact same amount of true liberty to the next person that they are producing. You know, when you look at, you shall know them by their fruit. That is such a powerful thing whenever we're examining our motives and we're examining the things that we're doing in life. We may not be the rowdy crowd, but if all I'm passing on is absolutely nothing, just like they're passing on absolutely nothing, what is the difference when we're going to be examined by our fruit, not by our perfect appearance, not by our perfect manner of life? That liberty that we're given, that we're granted, is to be used with a great responsibility. Just because we can get away with something, just because someone has allowed us to make our own choices and don't really care what we do, if we take that, remember the chicken. Whenever we're given liberty, if our heart is right, we'll take that liberty. And even though I can get away with something, I don't want to. I have the liberty to do what is right above and beyond what my freedom may offer me. I just want us to consider those things this morning. You have liberties that the world knows nothing about. You can abuse those liberties, or you can take those liberties as a precious gift. Whenever your parents, you try to start to allow your children to try their own wings, you give them the opportunity to give them the liberty. They're not giving you freedom to do whatever you want. They're giving you liberty to exercise what you've been taught. They're given liberty, giving you liberty to exercise what they've hoped for you. And you've got to give them that liberty. And it's hard sometimes. But that liberty needs to be given. If we're just training robots and we can't trust them and we can't let them go, we haven't got anything anyway. But when we can give them some liberty, trusting that they're going to take that freedom and that liberty and not use it for good, but to magnify it and to glorify it and to use it for honor and glory and a high cause. Liberty is a wonderful word whenever it's used properly. But it is a pitiful word when it's used wrongly. Freedom is a glorious thing when it's used rightly. But it's an ugly thing when it's abused. These things that have been given us, we do no honor. We do no credit to those who've fought and paid prices to provide it for us whenever we squander it like nothing. Someone just handed you a bunch of money and you just went and bought bubblegum with it and just wasted it, we'd think, oh, how they're squandering that. But yet, people will take their liberty and their freedom and turn and do the same thing with it that they would with money that they just go buy bubblegum with. It means that much to them. We don't like sometimes the correction that we get. We don't like the correction. If we'll allow that correction to guide us, so that when we are given the liberty for ourselves, we can use it. Verse 10, it says, "For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it." The one who desires life, to love and see good days. There's a lot of people that see good days because somebody else has paid a price. But the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Here's some things that we can do with our liberty. He must seek peace and pursue it. The Bible says, "Great peace will have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." That's King James Version. People who love what's right will have peace. wanted to talk about this morning. I kind of got off on liberty there, but seeking peace. What a glorious thing it is to have peace. The song that we sang this morning talked about joys. The joy diminishes. It comes for a while. I can't get the breath. But peace. Just get the thought. But peace is what lasts. The peace is what's valuable. Do you have peace? Are you using your liberty to pursue peace? You know, we talk about world peace. People talk about world peace. Talk about feud peace. Even have to talk about family peace. But all of it starts with your peace, personal peace. If there's peace in your heart, you've got something to pass on to your home. Then there can be peace in the home. Then there can be peace in the family. And then there can be peace in the church or in the community. Then we can work about world peace. Just like everything in the world, we can talk about things way out there. But it all begins with one person. That's you. If you'll take your liberty, and instead of seeking pleasure or joy or what you can get away with, and pursue peace, seek peace and pursue it. Verse 4 says, the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Does your tongue seek peace? Or is it just something to talk about? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. It's brought out a few years ago. That doesn't say peacekeepers. It says peacemakers. You know, so there's people that just go around and just want to get along with everybody. That's a peacekeeper, not a peacemaker. A peacemaker is someone who pursues it in their own heart and in their own life. Is what I'm doing going to cause division? Is it going to cause a rift? Is it going to cause trouble? Is it going to hurt somebody else? Or is it going to build peace? Peace, perfect peace, we sing about. And it's nice to sing about it, and it's nice to think about it, but is it something you pursue? I think a lot of the problems in the world, the anxiousness, the tenseness, it's not where peace is. Peace. Seek peace and pursue it. You have the liberty to seek after whatever makes you happy, or to seek after peace. And I'm going to tell you right now, there is no amount of the world's happiness that will outweigh one smidgen of peace. Just one little bit of peace outweighs all the things that we pursue that make us happy. Seek peace and pursue it. And remember the chicken. May the Lord add his blessings.
Yeah. The scars.